sense it's stable?
Yes, I do. And I think that some of the rhetoric that's surrounding this whole discussion isn't helpful. I mean, we're using terms like day of reckoning, crushing taxpayer costs.
Senator Bradley used those terms, right?
Insolvency, bankruptcy. Here's another fact, and this discussion needs to be based on facts. For the last 10 years, the New Hampshire retirement system has taken in $5.5 billion. It has paid out less than $4 billion in benefits. That's $1.5 billion gain. Now, that encompasses two great dips in the stock market, one after September 11, 2001, and one just recently in 2007, 2008. You know, Mike, that's not insolvency. That's not bankruptcy. This system is fine. It's on a path that is going to be solvent. It is solvent, and it's not insolvent. That's poor choice of word on my part. But it is going to be funded to the 80-85% level in a very short period of time. Remember, we passed this legislation that allowed the employers to amortize the bill that they owed over a 30-year period. It used to be 20. It was given as a maximum allowable period under the standards. So we allowed them 30 years to pay it back. We've 3 years into this. We got 27 more to go. And I would say let's hold the course and keep going. It's going to get better quicker.
All right. Dave Lang is our guest this morning, president of the Professional Firefighters of New Hampshire. We're discussing a very controversial Senate Bill 3 proposed by Senator Jeb Bradley of Wolfboro. 20 before noon time, if you'd like to join us, 742-1270 and toll free 1-888-441-WTSN. Let's take another call for our guest. And you are next on WTSN's Open Mic. Good morning. Welcome.
Yeah, good morning. I'm going to find out... When a person retires from the state of New Hampshire, what is their retirement pay?
When a person retires from the state of New Hampshire, a public state worker, what is the retirement pay?
What's the average one?
Do you know that, Dave?
And then on their medical, we pay for that. Because I retired from private. And...
All right, well, what's your question? Let's get to...
I want to know what they get when after they retire. What do they get a year?
All right, well...
That's my question.
All right, very good.
And how much of that is paid... how much do taxpayers are paying for their medical, you know, for their... I want to know those questions. Those have been bugging me for a long, long time.
All right, we'll let our guests try to answer that. Do you understand the question, Dave?
Yeah, I most certainly do understand the question, and it's a great one, and thanks for asking it. The average pensioner on the state employee is about $12,000 a year. 40% of the pensioners receiving a pension on the Group 1 state employee side makes $1,000 a month. That's what the pension is. Now, they get Social Security with that, understand. Now, with respect to state employees, the state employees, as part of the arrangement that they had, they get medical insurance that they help pay for through some of the medical subsidy that they get from the retirement system over time. They get it from the state of New Hampshire. Now, that comes out of the state operating budget. Now, ultimately, you know, property taxes has a lot to do with how we fund local government, but state government is funded in a different way. And there is some money that comes back down in revenue sharing from the state government down to local communities.
All right. Thank you, caller. We've got to take a break. 742-1270 and toll-free 1-888-441-WTSN. If you've got a comment or a question, want to join in on the conversation, by all means, we'd like to hear from you. 1-888-441-WTSN. That's 1-888-441-9876. If this affects you directly or indirectly, we'd like to get your side of the story as well. And Dave is here to answer any questions, make whatever comments you need to make about this. Dave Lang, president of the Professional Firefighters of New Hampshire. We're discussing a very interesting bill, which is getting a lot of talk, a lot of debate, Senate Bill 3, which would alter the pension system in the state and retirement system. 11:43 on WTSN. Give us a call, 1-888-441-WTSN. It's 17 before noon. Coming up at the top of the hour, Pat Kelly will be here with the latest news and information for you, local news for you here from your hometown on the WTSN 12 o'clock news hour.
Every day, every night. WTSN AM 1270, number one for talk, sports, and news on the Seacoast. Worldwide at WTSNAM1270.com. WTSN AM 1270, number one for news, talk, and sports on the Seacoast. This is your chance to let us know what you think. You're listening to Open Mic on WTSN AM 1270.
Hi, welcome back to WTSN's Open Mic. And, of course, we're streaming live on your computer as well at WTSNAM1270.com. We'd like to have you join us on the program. Your comments, your thoughts, your ideas, your views, of course, they are important to us here on WTSN. We'll tell you what we're talking about if you're just joining us on the program. I want to tell you that Open Mic today brought to you by our good friends by the Maids. They do a great job. They've cleaned my home, and I suggest that you call them up and see what they can do for you. They are the most thorough house cleaning service on the planet. I mean, on the planet. I mean, that's pretty good, on the planet. Serving coastal New Hampshire, the Manchester area, and southern Maine. Call them at 603-964-1633. 964-1633. They really do a great job. They come with a team of four, and they do everything. Even stuff like cleaning the microwave. I mean, They did a great job. Things I don't want to do. I'm too busy for that stuff, Dave.
You're not going to drag me into this conversation.
Oh, come on. I think
they do a good job.
They do a good job, really. They're from your area, by the way. Dave Lang, who's the president of the Professional Firefighters of New Hampshire, joining us this morning. We're talking about retirement reform in the state of New Hampshire, pension reform, all predicated on the Senate Bill 3, which is getting a lot of talk and a lot of discussion. Prime sponsor, Senator Jeb Bradley from District 3 there up in Wolfboro. And Jeb's been a frequent contributor to our program all the time. Every time Jeb comes in, he wears his Red Sox hat because he knows I'm a Yankee fan, you know. So we have a little rivet going on. I want to ask you, though. We talked a lot about this, and I think this issue is very difficult for people to understand because, as you have mentioned before, there's a lot of misinformation out there. What do you think is getting convoluted mostly, do you think, in this whole debate?
Well, I think that there is something mischievous or wrong that the employees are doing that is causing this situation. We would suggest that the complete opposite is the employees, police officers, firefighters, teachers, and public employees, workers, are living by the rules that are set up. I know of no community in which a worker can set the overtime that they get. I mean, this is a function of management that they create. This is the service level that we need. We got a big snowstorm coming up on the weekend, so we're going to have more folks plowing snow. So, you know what? We have to bring them in. That pays overtime. That goes onto their salary, and that's part of the income. It's no different than in the private sector that when you work overtime, it goes on your Social Security benefit. You get paid a bigger benefit than the military. You make more money when you're overseas and doing hazardous duty. That pays more money, and it goes on your salary. You pay taxes on it. You pay pension benefit on it, and that's part of your salary.
Yeah. You know, in the early days when you said that you started in 1980 and you became a firefighter, you were making $4 and change an hour. It's hard to believe that that's what they were paid back then. Did salaries go up after 9/11? Obviously, there was this solidarity movement behind firefighters and police officers and you know, first responders, things like that. Did salaries go up as a result of that?
Not really. What we did see is we saw some more investment in infrastructure in the fire department. We saw the public taking a look at the number of firefighters on a piece of fire apparatus, making sure that we provided effective and efficient firefighting forces. Here in Dover, I mean, that discussion, they built the third station here in Dover. I mean, that discussion goes on all the time. Look, I know one thing. When your house catches on fire, you expect us to show up with an efficient firefighting force that we can successfully keep it, hopefully to the trash can of origin, but hopefully to the room of origin, to minimize the loss, to save lives. I mean, that's what we do. And for that, you give us tax dollars in which to offer that protection and that service. And you provide us with our salary, and you provide us with health care. You provide us with a pension. Now, we look at it this way. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, our members go out and they protect the families and the community that they work for. And after their career, after they finished, what happens to them and their families? And that's what this pension talks about, is how we take care of our members and their families, the firefighters. By the way, Mike, and I know your listeners know this real well, we're taxpayers too. We actually are taxpayers, and there's a lot of money that's generated from this pension system that goes into the state of New Hampshire's economy, creating jobs. In 2006, we have a study that nationally was done that shows it created over 3,000 jobs in the state of New Hampshire, this pension system. These retirees stay in New Hampshire. They invest in the economy. They buy new cars. We believe there's a direct nexus between the car dealership and the middle-class worker. I mean, they buy cars from them, and that's part of the public sector.
Do you think that part sort of gets lost sometimes in this whole discussion? Because that people do, when they do retire, they do stay here, they do buy goods and services here, and that's always a good thing. It helps the economy, obviously, people staying here. I mean, there's always this talk about our students. You know, they think they can get a better job outside of New Hampshire, where people are trying to say, well, how can we create economic conditions? How can we create jobs here in the state of New Hampshire so that our smart students that wherever they go to college here in the state can stay in the state and get jobs? Sometimes they feel that the jobs are sort of out of state, you know?
I think there's a lot positive going on in New Hampshire.
I do, too.
We've got low unemployment. We're leading the region out of the recession that's coming in. But by the way, let's never downplay what the public and the taxpayers who are paying this bill have been through over the last couple of years. They've been through an awful lot.
Oh, it's been tough.
It's been terrible for them.
And it's not totally over. I mean, there are people still without jobs. A lot of people still looking for jobs.
And we know that. And we're trying to strike a balance. And that's why we've come forward with this aggressive plan for a new pension system that recognizes that balance. We don't think that that's unreasonable. Matter of fact, we think the public demands it, and we responded.
All right, let's take another phone call. Dave Lang is our guest, president of the Professional Firefighters of New Hampshire. We're talking about retirement and pension reform, and you are next on WTSN's Open Mic. Welcome. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I just need you to speak up a little bit, please.
Okay, I said good morning to you.
That I heard.
I just have a comment. I'm a retired City of Dover employee. I was not a police or firefighter. But I would like to say something about the pension system. When I started with the City of Dover, you were able to accumulate sick leave. If you were given so many days a year, if you didn't use them, you could accumulate them. In 1998, that was taken out of all city contracts in the City of Dover. So for at least a full 13 years, those days have not been able to accumulate. So when I hear somebody talk about spiking on the pension, I think a lot of people should realize that benefit has long been taken out, and that's what we could bump up somebody's pension sometime, but that benefit in Dover has long been gone, and I know because I sat on the negotiating table when that was taken out. And as far as sick vacation, in most contracts in the City of Dover, you're allowed to leave with 6 weeks vacation pay. That's what I was allowed to take if you had it. Some people didn't have that. So if you left, that could increase your pension a little bit. But most of the time, when people get any overtime, it's because of an emergency situation. I worked at Dover Public Works. If I had a winter where there was a lot of snow, my income went up. If there was not a lot of snow, my income went down. So, I mean, I think there's a lot of misconceptions out there about the overtime and so forth, about what people get. I know for me, when I left there, I didn't get a lot of money because that benefit with the sick leave had been taken out. And I think there's just so much about when I hear this thing about padding and so forth, that those days are long gone. So I just wanted to make that comment. Thank you.
Thank you, caller. Any comments, Dave?
Yeah, the only comment that I would make, and I think the caller is absolutely correct, and there's an eye towards doing away with all of that, is that was a benefit that the city was, and the community was getting. Every firefighter that called in sick or every teacher that called in sick, every police officer called in sick, usually they had to put one in a time and a half. So if you encourage them to save that and to sell it back, they save time and a half for the community. So that was born out of creative ways by the community in which to do that and to consider that as income. But the caller is absolutely correct. That's been at the negotiation table and has been discussed and been reduced over time and will be continued to be reduced.
All right, let's take one more call for Dave Lang joining us this morning. It's 5 before noon, and you are next on WTSN. Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning, Mike.
Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, Matt Mayberry. How are you?
Hey, Matt, how are you doing?
Good, good. I just want to thank Mr. Lang for coming on because fundamentally I think this comes down to a promise is a promise, and when we in the municipalities engage these firefighters and police officers, we give them a retirement system you folks look on. And to change it midstream I think is just wrong. I think some of these changes, we all know that the retirement system needs to be reformed, but let's start with those who are coming into the system upon signature, upon passage, and then change the system over time. For those people who aren't vested, and they serve for 9 years, to have them serve an additional 5 years, I think it's just fundamentally wrong. And I'm sorry I tuned in a little bit late, but want to weigh in that I want to thank Mr. Lang for what he's doing, and that a promise is a promise.
All right, Matt, thank you very much.
Thanks, Matt, for your comments. And I would agree that we do have to have a discussion. I think it's a fair discussion and it's appropriate to talk about what a new pension system needs to look like. And I think that's what we're trying to do.
All right, one more break and then we'll wrap it up in a moment. Dave Lang, our guest here this morning on WTSM, president of the Professional Firefighters of New Hampshire. We're back in a moment. All right, Dave, welcome back. We just have about a half a minute to go here in our program. We're talking about SB 3, the pension reform, retirement changes. Dave Lang's been our guest, president of the Professional Firefighters of New Hampshire. So the status on this bill, I mean, it's going to be up for debate coming up pretty soon and possibly a vote pretty soon, Dave?
Yeah, I would suspect that it's going to come out of committee next week, and then it will be on the full Senate floor probably the week after that.
All right. And what's the most important thing in 20 seconds that you want people to sort of remember from this discussion today?
Well, at the opening of the show, we heard a lot of news about fire in this area, so please be safe out there.
All right. Dave, thank you so much for joining us. Always nice to talk to you. We'll talk to you down the road on this issue and others as well. Pat Kelly joining us in just a couple of moments here with the WTSN 12 o'clock News Hour. I'm Mike Pomp. We're back tomorrow morning between 5 and 9, and then again, taking your calls for WTSN's Open Mic.